Well, welcome everybody. Today is March 19th. Welcome to the latest episode of Security in 45. Today, we're covering one of Cisco's newest technologies on the market, Cisco Secure Access. We're joined by two esteemed Cisco engineers, both with excellent but different beards. I'm very excited about that. David Keller and Justin Murphy.
Good. We'll send you the Venmo for the introduction later.
Yeah, don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, this is great. So, yeah, again, Secure Access, game-changing solution. We've seen a lot of customers, you know, it's part of a lot of our conversations. Very flexible to be used in terms of use cases and things that we can do with Secure Access. So, you know, super excited to have David and Justin part of the episode today. And again, we're gonna tag into what we had last time, which was Cisco Talos. This one is also another product that we can that can talk Talos and, you know, can get the intelligence from Cisco Talos. So it's gonna be really, really good. So now David and Justin, if you don't mind, let's get a quick introduction. I will start with you, David, and then we go with Justin.
Sounds good. So I'm David. I'm a solutions engineer here at Cisco. I've been with Cisco for roughly six-ish years, depending on when you start counting. I'm based out of RTP. RTP in North Carolina has a lot of, you know, opportunities for outdoor things. So in addition to tech and just really liking to learn and tinker with things in my lab environments, I really like doing things outdoors, you know, hiking, paddleboarding, all kinds of stuff. And with that, I'll pass to Justin.
Sure. Thanks, David. So I'm Justin Murphy. I'm a tech marketing engineer for Cisco. I've been here for around 8 years. Before that, I was a customer engineer, worked SOC for a large bank and things like that. I am based out of RTP as well. I also like to learn things, everything from the latest technologies to how to floss so I can teach my son and play around with him. So, and then I also like to travel. I've been fortunate enough to be able to go around the world to like Australia and New Zealand, things like that, and take part in sort of adventure sports there as well. So it's been a lot of fun. And with that, I'll pass it back.
So you guys not only are supposedly smart, but you're also well-rounded. I mean, flossing, that's pretty awesome. And David, I can just picture you out there on the lake with that paddle board. Excellent.
I'm just not flossing while I'm doing it. So neither the dance move nor the hygiene.
Flossing on the paddle board. Justin, stop next thing.
Yeah. You'll see me on Instagram, man.
There we go. So, all right. So today we're talking about secure access, but I think it'd be good for the audience to talk about some of the higher level kind of acronyms and the building blocks. And I'm gonna try not to confuse myself as I even ask this question. But if you could kind of clarify these acronyms that we hear all the time: SSE, SASE or SASE, CASB, and SAAS, where the S's are both capitalized, and the A's are usually the lowercase there. We call that SAS. Maybe an example would be really helpful. And David, I'll kick this one over to you.
Sure. So I'll kind of tell this as like an evolution almost. And I know this is kind of up for debate, and it really depends on where you're looking. And I don't really know if the evolution itself matters quite so much as it is the principles behind it and the actual architecture you're looking to solve for. But I'm sure we can all kind of remember a before time where all applications were on-premise and behind centralized, you know, security solutions, whether that was DLP solution or, you know, your firewall, WAFs, what have you. Of course, there was a shift, you know, either from users going remote or just issues with power, cooling, any kind of reasons where there might be a either OPEX or CAPEX positive to move to a cloud-hosted offering. And that's where the first acronym comes in of SaaS, or software as a service. And at its base, that's really just software that you're paying to access and utilize, but you're not having to manage the underlying infrastructure, whether that's the platform itself, the infrastructure itself, or anything else, rather than having it in, you know, your own data center on a server or, you know, hybrid cloud or in public cloud. As they shifted, right, organizations in general, shifted applications to the cloud and leveraging SaaS, you lost some of the visibility that you gained from your centralized security services. And that's where the second thing comes in of the content access security broker. CASBs were solutions, and these are all terms coined by Gartner, were solutions geared toward providing that visibility and control for applications that you no longer had on premise, either, you know, in line as a, you know, as a solution, or out of band via something like API or a different kind of method of plugging in. And those were often geared toward, you know, who can access what or do what, or what are users even doing with that application itself. There were, of course, some challenges and limitations that led to the next evolution, which, and again, this is up for debate, but I'll say it was Secure Access Services Edge, or SASE. SASE took CASB controls and added additional focus on the networking aspect, and also additional security controls. So now you had things like Secure Web Gateway or Web Proxy. You had the CASB controls, but you also had networking in terms of like SD-WAN or wide area network architectures. The challenge with that is now you've got a solution that is both the software-defined network for your WAN, as well as the security services. And that's where the final term that I'll go over is the security services edge, or SSE architecture, comes in, which is the disaggregated, or can be thought of as a disaggregated security services from SASE, just separate. So now you can use it regardless of any other underlying network infrastructure. And SASE, of course, is bringing, you know, similar CASB controls, similar web proxy, you know, data loss prevention, all kinds of stuff that we'll, of course, talk about during this call. Did that answer your question, Mike?
It definitely did. Thank you. And I think you explained that pretty well. And I think it's good to understand because, you know, the product we're talking about today is using these components at some level. Justin, anything you'd want to add to that?
Sure, yeah. So SASE and SSE do look very similar, but they solve different needs. They're for different teams, right? So when you're looking at a SASE solution and everything sort of being together under one roof, under one management system, you're looking at smaller teams, smaller organizations where you're going to have a single solution for your network and your security stack together, and the teams are going to work hand in hand and may even be all the same people working your network and your security group. Whereas SSE would be larger organizations. Maybe you have a mixed environment. Maybe you need to, maybe you have a separation of networking and security practices and things like that. That's where you would bring in the SSE, and that's where you would have the very similar stack, but it would be a little more flexible to fit into any environment and integrate with your existing network infrastructure.
Last point I have on this topic is, how long is your guys' Excel spreadsheet to like map all these acronyms to all their meanings? Talking under a page?
I don't think Excel's large enough to handle that. I've got a separate database I've spun up that just keeps all my records.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I can get crazy with all the acronyms and everything. So yeah, I know. All right, guys. So I do have a new question. This one's for you, Justin. What are the primary components for Secure Access? We heard, you know, some of those acronyms, but we want to know what are the components of, you know, a solution like Secure Access. If you don't mind going over a
little bit about that. Sure. Yeah. So I'm going to have to throw some more acronyms at you, but we'll make it through it, I think. So when we designed Secure Access, we really wanted to make it simple, and we broke it down into really three parts. We really wanted to talk about users' access to applications. So we broke it down into who, which are the users, the what, which is applications, whether it's private cloud, public cloud, data center, wherever they are, and then the what, which is the security in between, which is the actual meat of Secure Access. So in order to get those three things together to get that traffic through Secure Access, we need a couple components, right? We need the CSC or the Cisco Secure Client, and that has modules to acquire traffic from the users, whether it's CTA, VPN, roaming, all of these types of different data acquisition methods are all in one simple unified client to get that traffic to Secure Access to acquire security stack. And then on the other side, to get to the applications, we've got some standard protocols, things like IPsec, tunnels, site-to-site VPN, as well as resource connectors, which we can dive into a little bit later, which will give you that ability or that transport to get to those applications. And so once we have that traffic into Secure Access, then that's where we can apply firewall rules, IPS rules, that whole Secure Internet Gateway or SIG stack that we have there with the proxy and all of the different controls, as well as posture and authentication, those types of things. So it's really just an all-encompassing way of getting users to applications securely.
That's actually really good info. Yeah, really good that we see, you know, all the components, everything that we can do with it, and it's just, you know, a lot of impact for users going hybrid, going on-site, and things like that. So that's awesome.
I guess at a high level, then, you're taking all these users that you mentioned, like they may or may not have a client on them, and then we've got these locations. And it sounds like connect all the humans and all the devices together. And then where we are all connected, that's where we're going to apply that security stack as well.
Right. So the motto is to connect from anywhere to anywhere, right? And we're highly distributed within the cloud to make that a pleasant experience for the users, as well as to make those applications available. And when we do break those two things down, we usually break them down into SPA, which is secure private access for your applications that you're hosting, and secure internet access. And that's where you're going through that SIG stack for the additional security controls for going out to the internet.
Interesting. So and I won't dive too deep into it right now, but I heard you mention like Umbrella SIG, for example. So we're using components of that to do the security in the cloud.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So secure access is just a collection of very integrated security controls that we've already have. So a lot like our secure client, it's technologies that we've been developing for years that we've brought together and simplified with our unified policy and other things that we can dive into to be able to protect those applications and get those users connected.
Excellent. David, what about, okay, so I'm a user and my company is now using Secure Access. From a user experience, what are the pain points and some of the problems that Secure Access solves for me as the user?
Yeah. So, and this is just another way of looking at, you know, the components of Secure Access, where Secure Access is geared toward, you know, three high level use cases. The first is going to be security efficacy. No matter how pretty a dashboard is, if it's not actually providing any kind of actual purpose in security, it's not worth anything. You know, it might as well be Facebook or something as like a GUI for you to manage, which is where, as John just mentioned earlier, we were leveraging Talos for that threat intelligence. The second part is the admin experience. And I think we might be covering that in a later question. So I'll leave that on the table for now. And then the third, of course, is the actual user experience that you're, you know, wanting to know more about. From a user experience perspective, we're geared toward two primary directions. One is reducing friction, especially when accessing private resources. We are looking to secure access to both private and public, you know, anything on the internet. You're still going to have visibility and control through both the DNS and secure web gateway controls. And along with that, the security, you know, features and components that they provide. We're also looking to reduce the friction to private resources. And so that would be, you know, an application or a service or server that you're hosting on premise. For those users, there's really three ways that they can connect to those applications. The first is remote access VPN as a service. And that's going to work the same way as it does today if you have, you know, a Cisco head in and you're using AnyConnect. Like Justin mentioned, we're leveraging Secure Client. And all that is version 5 with a rebranding of AnyConnect. So there's really no change for it. It's just a change of name. And the brand change is just due to, you know, Cisco leveraging the Secure Client as the mode of deployment and management for all the other security modules, which includes AnyConnect as a VPN module. But there's also, you know, the Umbrella module we're taking for from Umbrella. We've got a ThousandEyes module. We have modules for ICE, Endpoint, all kinds of stuff. There's like 10-something modules already, all under that one client. So you still have VPN as a service today. And I think that'll go into the operational component that we talked about in a little bit. The second bit is related to the zero trust access that we're adding, both of which are geared toward reducing friction. One is client-based. So that's using a module on our secure client that will enable the user to authenticate, you know, for a period that you specify. And then the user can access that internal application or resource how they would if they were on-prem without having to connect to a VPN headend. And they're still getting, you know, posture controls and security applied to that. But for the end user, they're just connecting to it as if they were on network, right? They don't have to go, you know, and, you know, reconnect to the VPN or decide, like, do I need to be on VPN for this? Or can I just connect to it? Like, you take all the guessing out. And then the second is browser-based. And so it doesn't rely on having a client. And that can be used for either, you know, your regular users, or if you had, you know, contractors or someone that you wanted to give access to for a specific web app, we can proxy that traffic. And so you would just give them a URL that they would use to resolve that application. And in either of those situations, either client-based or browser-based, you're only allowing access to the applications. You're not allowing access to the rest of the network like you do with remote access VPN, preventing that lateral movement. But we'll talk about that more later. The second bit would be related to the actual end user's experience. So we've, you know, like Justin was alluding to, Cisco has a lot of things that we've acquired, we've built. You know, there's 30-something things in the security stack alone, and there's hundreds of things, I think, in our actual overall portfolio. And very unique to Cisco, we've pulled the best from each thing as if they were microservices to build secure access as a SaaS offering. And so we've taken from ThousandEyes and added a end user agent for end user, you know, experience visibility. So we can see, you know, things about like the actual like network the user's on or their connectivity to, you know, SaaS or to secure access. And with that visibility, you know, and this might also go into the operational side. There's a lot of overlap between these things. It could be really argued any of them could flop over. But now the IT team can assist with visibility for users that aren't on premise. You know, you don't need access to the wireless controller to see what the, you know, the connectivity of the AP looks like, or, you know, have them run Telnet and ping and do all these crazy things to try to get visibility. Now you're getting that from that agent. And so now you can make decisions and assist regardless of where the user's located. I would say those are the two primary things that would contribute to the user experience. But
really the idea is to make it so that the user doesn't have to think about how they're connecting, right? So all of these modules play together to where even the admin doesn't have to configure the VPN to ignore ZTA traffic. And ZTA does have to get a higher level so that it is able to sort of match and provide that transport for traffic if it is enabled. So we really go for, hey, can we go the most secure way? Can we use ZTA? Can we, if not, hey, is VPN connected? Let's go VPN. If not, hey, we're going to the internet. Maybe we're the roaming module, or maybe we're going over VPN to go through that. So it really is to make it transparent for that user. And it gives you some availability benefits on the management side as well, where we're talking about, David mentioned VPN as a service. Where, hey, I've got a stack of ASAs or FTD, and I'm trying to manage my VPN. That way, now I've got to replace that hardware. I have to keep it up to date. I have to size it correctly. If we have a mass exodus of folks or need Some need to provide additional bandwidth for folks to connect in and get to these applications. We've got to either plan for that, or we're going to have a bad day when the folks try to connect in at 8 o'clock in the morning and all of our VPN head ends completely saturate and turn over. So with VPN as a service and secure access, we can, because we're in the cloud, we can elastically expand that out. You don't have to plan for that. We have that capability within your subscription to just, hey, we're going to expand out. We're going to provide that connectivity for those users. There's no performance hit, and you can keep going. Beyond that, we are playing further into the security stack, like being able to provide proxy and malware analysis to from internet traffic and things like that in IPS, where, hey, you can offload that decryption, all of, again, a lot of sizing and management of boxes into the cloud, particularly for remote access, but even branch-to-branch communication and branch out to the internet communication, so that can help with especially smaller branches where you may not want to invest in the infrastructure to have the same security, but you want the same security controls, right? You don't want to bring it back to your data center. Send it to us. We can process that traffic. We can route it wherever it needs to go, to public or private apps, and provide those security controls seamlessly. And it's a single place of configuration, so you don't have to worry about, hey, did I go out to this branch and make sure that the firewall had the same rules as this other branch? Even if I have centralized management, you don't have to worry about pushing that out and verifying those configurations, because it's all in one place and distributed across our cloud presence.
We, as engineers, you probably have a tendency to go deep in the weeds, as you could tell from my previous monologue. And I apologize to anyone that's heard this analogy before, because this has been said internally quite a lot. But from an end user experience, I would consider it the same way as, you know, plumbing inside your house might work, right? You need water to go out of your sink, shower, whatever. You just need access to the water. You don't care what the pipe is. The same way for this, the end user just needs access to the application, whether that's on the internet or internal, they don't care. But you as the management need to be able to provide that securely. And so we've provided a handful of ways, you know, three of which are practically transparent to the end user, in order to access those resources. And so they don't have to worry about, how do I need to connect to something? They just connect to it.
Like that analogy a lot, actually. Yeah. So what you, from the user perspective, it's completely invisible after I turn on that water or after I start trying to get to my application. I don't need to worry about that. I'm just connecting and getting to work. But then, Justin, your point on the management admin side, we've got all these controls that we can put in place, and we've got the full power of the security and the connectivity at our fingertips, which we don't have to concern the user with. Very cool.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think it was really cool was just, you know, understanding all the pain points that all the users feel right now when they, you know, when a company starts applying security, and this is just a way to get away from that friction, from that bad user experience. So that's awesome. I think
some of this, like for the, Justin, you mentioned like the SSL decryption as well. So all of this security being done in the cloud, that's really nice for my on-prem firewall, not having to get bogged down with some of these CPU intensive, you know, classic, don't turn on an SSL decryption, it could break things or slow down my firewall. So we're moving so much into the cloud by consolidating, like you said, a lot of different features from a lot of different products into this one solution.
Correct. And we're not only sort of offloading that into the cloud, but we're also distributing it to wherever your users are, right? So you don't have to worry about bringing everything back to a central location. It's not like we're bringing it back to a central location. It's across all of our data centers and the cloud. So we're able to provide that better experience closer to the user, as well as offload that need for that high compute and handle those spikes, but and then just the day-to-day traffic as well, without having to invest additional dollars to build those boxes bigger for the like one time a year when everybody's using it, like retail Black Friday. You're trying to size for Black Friday versus every other day, you're looking at 3, 4 times, 10 times the amount of traffic and compute that you need. Like, are you really going to buy that and spend that money all year long just for one day?
Or what we saw with the pandemic, just if you had something like this solution for the pandemic, I mean, talk about the ultimate flexibility and scaling. Everybody goes home to work. This solution just scales with them. Company holidays, things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When in 2020, I was still in sales and we got a lot of calls about folks who had firewalls and everything else that were needing to upgrade and add to the stack and having all of these problems and down because they were not able to handle the new traffic flows.
And it might be worth considering, right? This isn't just here's what we're going to do for your existing environment, right? And augment that. It's also like what you're wanting to do in the future. You know, if you currently have branch sites that are tunneling all traffic back to, you know, a hub location, and that's your centralized security point, you're wanting to instead, you know, move away from that and have direct internet access from branch locations. This is a way to add those security services with a centralized, you know, policy stack, you know, a unified policy, a single, you know, cloud managed offering, without having either enable security services on devices that weren't previously sized for that, or put a second device at that location that you didn't have to find a way to manage.
So, the point for that to come up, yeah, because I know we talk about the unified policy of this solution and one policy to kind of extend wherever you connect in from to maybe multiple locations.
Right, and it applies to all of the different data acquisition methods the same, right? So if I'm Justin on ZTA or I'm Justin on VPN, then I can be identified and use the exact same rule. Maybe there's additional posture when I'm connecting via ZTA, but all of that's part of the same policy. So all of those components come in and I don't have to rewrite that on different boxes or have a different policy section even in the same dashboard. It's all in one place for those users. And David, I like your, hey, this is a good way to sort of think about how you're going to manage your traffic and your security in the future, because that's one reason that we're offering VPN as a service within our SSE, because not all SSEs provide that capability. And what it does is it meets you where you are in your current security journey. Like, hey, I'm very heavily relying on VPN. All these applications, I'm not sure if they're going to work over ZTA, or maybe the experience isn't as good over ZTA for whatever reason. Maybe there's a server to client communication that has to happen or something like that. Well, hey, you can move over your VPN as a service, distribute it in the cloud, take advantage of that infrastructure, and then move all of your applications to ZTA as it makes sense. Maybe start with the crown jewels and the highest touch type stuff so that you can force that re-auth or provide that per app posture and get that additional visibility into it, and then and not allow as much access to those more secure networks. And so it provides you with a soft way to kind of move into the cloud and get into an SSE type of solution.
Excellent.
That's good. And we've been touching in a few different topics, a few different points of view, you know, management, user experience. But I want to ask you, David, if you want to just go a little bit more specific into what are the components of secure access? You know, just from all the things that we mentioned, let's see if we can put all this together so our audience can make sense of what are the components, if you don't mind.
Yeah, for sure. And this will kind of tie into some of what we've already talked about as well. And I mean, to be honest, we could probably take an hour by itself just to talk about the actual components to it. So this is going to feel a lot more like a list than it will an overview. But we, of course, have the core SSE components in secure access because it is a security services edge solution. So things like the web gateway, the CASB controls, the data loss prevention, which in our case is multi-mode, both in-band or real-time with the web proxy, as well as out-of-band using API for a few different sanctioned SaaS applications. We have the Zero Trust Network Access, which we talked about being client-based and browser-based. And then we also have the firewall as a service, which is our centralized firewall stack, including decryption for that, for layer 3, layer 4, and layer 7 controls. And in line with that, we have IDS and IPS leveraging Snort 3, same as what we use with Meraki MX and with Firepower. It will be, you know, more similar to what you have with Meraki MX, where you have, you know, pools of signatures created by Talos. But, you know, like you probably talked about in your last session with Talos, I haven't been able to go back and watch it, although it's on my next list. They're doing a lot of stuff for threat intelligence because they're the ones evaluating all the different things that we're getting from our security stack, in addition to, you know, what they're doing as, you know, incident response or threat research. So they are writing signatures that we can then leverage with that. Because we're Cisco and because we're able to pull from the best of everything, we're also, you know, able to offer DNS security, pulling from what we had with Umbrella. We've rebuilt that in Secure Access to offer it as another enforcement point. We have the advanced malware protection using our, you know, AMP cloud that we leverage with, you know, file analysis with the web proxy, because we're able to, you know, fully decrypt traffic, including TLS 1.3. And because we're able to fully decrypt that traffic, we now get greater visibility with, you know, granular app controls for, you know, applications that you might need to allow access to that you don't want everyone to have full access with. You know, the file analysis, of course, in line with the file analysis, we have the, you know, secure malware analytics for additional sandboxing for files of an unknown disposition. You know, file type controls, other CASB controls. The VPN as a service, the digital experience monitor we already talked about. And then finally, we have the remote browser isolation, also in line with the web proxy, which would be a containerized browsing session for the end user so that nothing within that browser is being executed on the end user's actual endpoint. It's all being executed within the browser. And then that final product is being presented to the end user using a combination of draw operations and DOM mirroring. So we're not using pixel streaming, which can cause some performance issues. But there's a lot of stuff. And kind of what you would need to use or how you would leverage it would really depend on, you know, what you're looking to do. But it's definitely more than just kind of the core SSE components.
That's pretty cool summary of all the components. It's all invisible to the user.
Yeah, and all invisible to the user. That's amazing.
Well, it's also part of one subscription as well, right? So you're not buying all of these individual components and bringing them together and trying to integrate each piece yourself. All of these are part of the Secure Access solution in one management plane, in one dashboard, so that you can see, so that you can configure them and have that visibility and control without having to say, oh, well, I need to go out and get this and this and this and integrate and build this stack. It's there for you. And
it's all one intent-based policy as well. And you can have it be based off of, you know, I don't want Justin to go to Facebook, and I want to offer a warn page for David if he tries to go to Facebook. And it'll be able to do that based on user identity. You can integrate with an IDP or upload identities to have policy applied for that. And that's for both, you know, DLP, web proxy, depending on how we see the traffic, we can apply all kinds of stuff. But it's all through that one policy. And then, of course, you know, it's all in the same reporting as well. And it's all in one dashboard. So you can see within the reporting kind of what users are doing and where they're going and, you know, applications they're leveraging for shadow IT and all kinds of fun stuff without having to go to, you know, different management places. Sorry, Justin, I got excited there. Were you going to add more?
No, that's fine. It's good. I like it.
All right. Big nerd energy on this call. You know, it's
we're
a little too hyped.
Now, I know Justin, you talked about consolidating a lot of this products into this one solution. I'm thinking like Cisco Umbrella, for example, which is only going to connect to cloud-based resources. But this solution, Secure Access, David, you mentioned how it can talk to those private resources as well. Maybe in just 2 minutes or less, Justin, what is the actual mechanism by which we are connecting all these users? Some of them are remote. Maybe I'm at Starbucks, and then some of them are behind these firewalls, these SD-WAN locations. How do we actually connect them in together?
So there's a few different connection methods we can use. I noticed you gave me a time limit, so I must be talking too much.
No. I just want to make sure we have time for the dad jokes at the end. That's why people tune in.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about the remote users first, because we've touched on that quite a bit with the secure client. We'll dig a little bit deeper into that. So we're using the same VPN technology that we've had. Obviously, we've moved it into the cloud. We've got microservices and things like that running around it. But we can perform the same sort of posture and certificate based off. And as David mentioned, we can have an IDP like Azure or others, and a SAML solution like Duo or something like that integrated in with this, so that we can authenticate and we can provide that VPN connectivity. And what that does is that does obviously route all ports and protocols. We can do a full tunnel, and that's going to get you into that flow to get into that SIG stack as well as to private applications. Now, just below that, we have our ZTA module, and our ZTA module actually includes the Duo Health Agent. So this is another like sort of under the hood type thing that you don't really have to worry about, but it's inside that ZTA module where, hey, we're going to, again, check your identity, we're going to check your posture, and we're going to give you per app tunneling to those applications that are ZTA enabled. And that traffic, as I mentioned earlier, is something that where the ZTA module is looking for that at the application layer, or right below the application layer, the socket layer, to be able to grab that traffic before the VPN can even see it. So as long as the VPN is aware that ZTA is doing this, there's no conflicts there. So we can have those running side by side and get that app, that private app traffic where it needs to go securely. And then we have the roaming module. That's sort of our tried and true roaming module that will send DNS traffic up to secure access, provide those DNS controls so that, hey, we can stop threats before they even try to attempt to connect, for your clients try to connect to those malicious websites or undesired destinations, whether it's content category and other things. And then it can also pull that user identity from the device and apply policies through the proxy and provide all of those security controls that we do have in our proxy, because that is sort of where a lot of the magic happens with decryption, with file analysis, with RBI and all of those other components that we've talked about. That roaming client just by itself can get you all of those types of things in front of your or for your user's traffic. And then if your user comes on premise, then we have things like IPsec tunnels where you can build with standard protocols with other third-party components, as well as our own routers and firewalls and things. But we also have integrations with our Catalyst SD-WAN so that we can participate in the routing power of SD-WAN and the filtering and traffic shaping and steering of those components. So, hey, we can get into secure access, get that security stack in front of things you want it to be in, or we can go branch to branch and get that traffic directly there. And so those are sort of the main ways that we do this. The final one we've added actually recently is Resource Connector. And that's something that works hand in hand with our ZTA module to provide a path for those for users to get to applications, right? So if I have an application configured for ZTA and I have a resource connector deployed, which is just a VM that can run in AWS and ESXi today, it will expand it into other clouds as well soon. Basically, what it does is it means I don't have to build IPsec tunnels. I don't have to worry about routing. I just need to put this VM in my data center on a VLAN, on a network that can access these applications. And then I just define the application secure access and everything else happens for you. The tunnel is built from the resource connector out to the cloud automatically. And the cloud basically just says, hey, this application lives behind this resource connector and sends it there. And then once it's behind on your premise, you can have a WAF or a firewall between the resource connector and your application if you need additional security. But we can provide that transport easily without modifying your firewall rules or anything on your edge or routing within your network, as far as like building out IPsec tunnels to say, hey, I need these sites to connect through secure access. That resource connector will do that for you.
Now, that last one about the resource connector, I'm on a lot of calls about people looking to replace my VPN and go clientless. Would that work there? Can I have no client and still access that private access?
So yeah, so that's our clientless ZTA. I've neglected that a little bit on this call, on this interview. But yeah, the So the clientless ZTA does participate in that as well. And that is another way that we connect users. So if you have unmanaged devices, whether it's BYOD or contractors or partners that are trying to connect to applications, you can either use those IPsec tunnels or you can use the resource connectors to get back to those applications and provide that posture using that user agent string for that traffic back to web applications. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it kind of depends on what the questions regarding whether in terms of VPN, like is it from between sites or from a head into secure access, or if it's for users connecting for remote access VPN. From a connectivity perspective, like if you're going to zoom out, you know, users are connected to secure access using the umbrella module for web and DNS, remote access VPN for all traffic, if you want. The client-based ZTA module that can do private application access, you know, any port protocol, as long as it's, you know, client to server, and then browser-based access, which is of course the web proxy. The connection from your private application to secure access would be either tunnel, which is an option for backhaul, or that resource connector, which can act as kind of a proxy for secure access and the end user trying to connect at, on the network itself. And it's going to be what's going to reach out to the private application. And then of course, to secure access building a tunnel by itself. So yeah, you could, you know, replace VPN either for the backhaul connectivity or the end user connectivity. But it would ultimately come down to, you know, your existing architecture, what applications you need to allow access for. You know, there are going to be situations where remote access VPN is still necessary for better or worse. It just might be for a smaller user pool or for fewer applications as you make that migration. And that's part of why we've included, you know, VPN as a service, because I mean, anyone that offers ZTA is going to still require you to have a VPN, because there's either going to be something peer-to-peer or, you know, server to client that's going to require it. And so we just included it as part of the offering because, again, uniquely positioned at Cisco.
And it's cool that we were talking earlier how seamless or invisible to the user, you could just have them try the VPN if needed, if not, just go down to the next connection method kind of automatically. Very cool.
Yeah, yeah. With the ZTA, they just be connected to it as if they were on-prem, and the module itself will capture the traffic and identify it as, hey, this is a private application. And with any of these options, there's a posture check, you know, so it can fit as part of a zero trust access architecture, which I know is going to be a question you're going to ask in a second, but this just feels too perfect of a segue. It'll be able to do a posture check for you. And if you pass the posture check, you know, you're able to authenticate. It's going to put you through, you know, the firewall rules. It's going to look at, like, should you be allowed to access at all with your identity? And then it'll connect for you. And it'll use the resource connector or the tunnel, depending on how you have it connected, to give you that access. And you as an end user, all you're doing is authenticating. And you're authenticating at the, you know, on the timing that's configured by the administrator. So it can be, you know, every hour, I think weekly. And there's, like, different time frames that you can set. I don't quite remember off the top of my head. I'm a nerd, but I'm not a super nerd, so forgive me. And so, like, you don't have to, like, even try VPN first. You know, I personally, I would try just to connect to it, same way as I might today, and see, like, can I access it? And if I can't, that's when I would be looking at VPN. And you might find entire swaths of users don't need to use VPN after making the migration.
Very cool.
Yeah. So you just stole my question, David.
But absolutely did. I'm sorry.
It's all good. But no, just, you know, just to give the audience the idea of, you know, zero trust, where we are looking to make sure that we understand who the user is, what type of device they're using. And then, you know, that part that you just mentioned about the client versus clientless assessment of the actual device. So yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah. So I mean, as far as the zero trust architecture goes, right, it's ultimately geared, no matter what it is, for the same thing: giving users access to only the things they need access to, and making sure they, like, should have access. Because it's not just like, does David have permissions? It's, is David on a corporate device? Is David's corporate device up to date? Has he disabled his firewall? Right? Is risk increased to the point where I no longer want to give David access to something? And the answer might be yes. And so you shouldn't give access to me, regardless of if I'm able to authenticate. And so depending on the connection method will kind of inform the posture control, but you can of course bring in your own, you know, IDP for authentication. So if you're like, you know, leveraging Duo for, you know, SAML to this application, you're also able to do their conditional enforcement for device health. For secure access itself, you know, with the browser-based access, we're able to use the user agent info to get information about the endpoint. Justin had mentioned the device health application we brought over for the Zero Trust access module. And that is going to be checked per session that a user tries to access the application. In both situations, like I mentioned like way earlier, you're only giving access to the application itself. And you're not giving access to the rest of the network like you would with the remote access VPN, right? And you're able to have that intent-based policy based on the user identity. And so I could say like, everyone in marketing can access this thing, but then I could have a specifier like, oh, but Justin can't. And so you can get really specific with it. And Cisco's, you know, again, going in a direction to help simplify the deployment and management for this with them, some things they're working on that I'm not at liberty to talk about. But it's all geared to making it so you can secure your network, provide access to your users, reduce friction without having to be a CCIE, you know? Like I'm all for certs. I've got more than a couple myself, and I'm sure everyone else here does as well. But you shouldn't have to have a full stack of certs to be able to do these things, to have these outcomes, you know? So that's really what I feel like we're going to with the Zero Trust side.
Nice, I like that. Yeah, and that all falls back onto that intent-based networking. Like I can see who, I can see what, and I'm just kind of mapping who I want to give access to. All right, so I don't have any like theme music planned or anything for the next section that would hype everybody up, but it is time for the dad jokes. I gave you guys, Andres and I said, bring a dad joke that has something to do with springtime. So I'm really excited to hear what you guys will come up with. Who, Andres, you want to go first?
All right. Yes. I'm probably still one of the ones we have right here. The one that I like the most. So what did the seed say to the flower? Anybody has an idea?
Seed to the flower. Okay. I can't wait to grow up like you or something.
No, it's okay, bloomer. Probably something that one of my kids will say to me at some point.
No, I think that okay, boomer, like, people get seriously upset if you do say that to someone. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. I'll kick off the next one here. Did you guys hear about the gardener who could not wait for spring? He was so excited he wet his plants.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Justin, you want to go next?
Sure. So that gardener that's excited, he may not be able to plant any flowers. Do you know why? Because he hasn't bought any.
I had to think about that for a second. I was like, botany. Yes. Botany.
Yep. Oh, God, you've asked for springtime puns, but I feel like I'm taking the fall if you catch me. So my pun, that wasn't it, is why is spring a good time to get into good habits? It's a perfect time to turn a new leaf, which is what I want to do about these puns.
Thank you, guys. Excellent. Now I got some good dad jokes to, you know, tell when I'm coaching my kids soccer and basketball games.
Or Justin's teaching his son how to floss.
Sure. Or yeah, teaching the floss. I can't wait to see that on video. David and Justin, real quick, would you each want any closing thoughts or comments?
Yeah, sure, I'll go first. So we've talked a lot about secure access and how it can fit into an environment, but it obviously isn't going to be the only security solution. It's something that's part of your security stack and defense in depth strategy. And so there are other components that you'll need for that, whether it's for email, XDR, things like that. So there are things that we can help with and we can talk about for customer journeys and things like that to help you on your way. As far as plugging, I'm on LinkedIn. I don't have a whole lot going on online, but I definitely recommend David's YouTube channel, which I think he'll talk about in a minute. So I'll pass it over to him.
But you are going to probably have millions of likes from your video of flossing. So we'll just connect you that way.
That's right. I got to get that paddle board. I was looking at some inflatable ones. They're discounted right now. So we got to get out there.
I've got two inflatable boards. I recommend them. But you have a truck, so you might be able to use a regular board.
Yeah, 11 foot is interesting.
I might have a used one to sell you if you'd like. I don't have a truck, so I have no way to transport it anymore.
Okay. We'll have to check.
Hit me up later. We can sort this out.
This is the Security 45 marketplace.
Yeah. Let me know if you want to buy a powder board, first off. Second. Yeah, I'm on YouTube now. I've only got two videos. I make no promise when I'll post new ones. Look me up at security-decrypted. I try to make videos related to, you know, simplifying security, making it more, I guess, easier to understand, to follow, really simplify things. I'm going to have a series on secure access. I've already kind of started with an overview. So if you want to hear just me talk about it for 14 or so minutes, feel free to check that out. Otherwise, I'm not really on social media either. There's just too many other things to do, but I'm on LinkedIn, so hit me up. Always happy to hear or interested in hearing about, you know, what your thoughts are, or kind of where you'd be looking to implement something like this. You know, I've got what I can see from inside Cisco and, you know, what I mess around with and what customers are telling me, but it's always good to hear what people with, you know, boots on the ground are doing as well.
We'll make sure that we post, David, your decrypted LinkedIn video link. As well as the link to Justin flossing on the paddleboard in the show notes. My takeaways, I'm glad we covered those acronyms, which are, you know, extremely confusing to a lot of different people. SSE, SASE, Software as a Service, CASB. We talked about those primary components of secure access. I like thinking of it as a connectivity and a security solution where we connect everyone out to that common cloud, and right there is where we're going to apply that security policy as well. We talked about that unified policy, how all of this is frictionless from the user. A lot of complexity that Cisco will worry about behind the scenes, but from a user perspective, I connect in to get to work. I think that's really important. Then from that management and administrative side of things, I'm able to consolidate a lot of these separate pieces of the puzzle I have, maybe separate products, maybe something like Umbrella, and I'm able to absorb all of that into this one common dashboard, again, which is bringing that connectivity and security together. Andres?
Yeah, thank you for that, Mike. My takeaways are going to be, one of them, the understanding that we have now on the secure access components, what are the things that we can do. All those acronyms, you know, the DNS security, the advanced malware protection, the browser isolation, all those things that are super fundamental for an SSE solution, they're gonna be here on this section, right? The other thing is, where our users, devices, applications, where are we connecting from and where are we connecting to? Those are the most important questions, right? We have access to local applications, things that are inside of the data center, things that are cloud, and we can have control of that. So that's really good to keep in mind. And then the last piece, which I think it's very interesting, it's going to be that that piece on zero trust, on the zero trust architecture, where we're talking about the posture assessment. We're talking about what is the implication for users connecting either via a client or clientless. And then we see that that piece on the framework for zero trust. So that was those are really my takeaways for this one.
Excellent. Well, I'm personally armed with new dad jokes, and I'm feeling pretty good today. Thank you so much, David and Justin, David Keller and Justin Murphy, for being guests on the show and all the good you do in the security world. Next call is going to be April 17th. We're going to be discussing what's new in Cisco's Firepower latest version. Latest parent version would be 7.x. So we'll talk about all the cool things in Cisco Firepower firewalls that are new. I've loved today's session on secure access. Please stay secure, and we will see you on the next show, everybody.
Thank you all.
Take care, stay safe, y'all. Bye-bye.
Yeah.